The testimony of Scripture is abundantly clear that there is coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will reappear from heaven. Such a notion is manifestly unpopular in the world, and those who subscribe to such a notion will be dismissed by the world as incapable of rational thought or expression. But let not such realities deter you from believing the plain statements of God's Word concerning the second coming of Christ. I like again what we were considering this morning. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, Peter said, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is evident that George Frederick Handel had some understanding of the meaning of biblical texts, such as the one before us this evening, that concern Messiah. He put this particular text into the introductory section of his great oratorio because it is a text that focuses on aspects of both the first and second advents of Messiah. The day of his appearing is not only in view the day of his second coming, but also the day when the angel said to the shepherds, "There is born for you in this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." As we saw in our last message in this series, there is at times in Old Testament prophecy a device called foreshortening, in which aspects of two different events, separated by a long period of time, are comprehended in the same language. But the tone of language in this text that we have taken this evening compels us to consider the reality of what will happen at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That event will be preceded and accompanied by unprecedented turmoil and cataclysms in the earth. Unprecedented, that is, at least since the days of the great flood. It will be an event that those who ridicule it in advance will find themselves trembling and astonished to confront. I don't say that it will be an event that will cause them to change their thinking, but it will certainly generate from them great anger and defiance. The question of our text demands an answer. It is a question that cannot be dismissed or even ignored. Christ is going to appear. And there must be a facing of Him. So many will be shocked and terrified by the suddenness with which Christ will appear that they will be looking for any kind of refuge that they find readily available. But they won't find any available in that day. Who will be able to remain standing? Malachi asks. Who will be able to remain standing in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes to act as the judge? Who will be able to tolerate? Who will be able to be at peace in the face of certain action by the judge of all the earth? It is the question for every unconverted soul. It is the question for everyone who is looking to some work of the flesh as being sufficient to satisfy God. This text leads us this evening to a theme that some would consider to be too serious for a consideration of the coming of Messiah. But it is a theme that we must contemplate. This text leads us to consider this evening Judgment Day's challenge. Judgment Day's challenge. Now, we live in the midst of people who go about their lives every day, seldom if ever thinking about anything to do with judgment. They are taught to believe that those who talk about judgment are just narrow-minded Puritans anyway, and they ought to be dismissed as irrelevant in society. They are being taught that whatever happens, whenever it happens, that everything is going to work out in the end. That those who have led lives of dissipation and defiance will still somehow or other be taken into heaven at the end. It is the devil's lie. And no one should be so gullible as to swallow it. The devil would have you to believe, if you don't get too overwrought about spiritual things, if you don't get too concerned about your own soul, then everything will be all right whenever the end comes. But the questions posed by this text will not permit such an attitude. You must reckon, the text is telling you, on this event happening. How do we know that you must reckon on this event happening? Because the first appearing of Christ has already happened. The first coming of Christ has already occurred. That cannot be disputed. So the second coming of Christ is bound to occur just as the angels said to the disciples in the aftermath of Christ's ascension to heaven. They said, He is going to come in the same manner as you saw Him go. So the question is, will you be able to stand in that day? Now the question seems to call for a negative response. Who will stand? Who shall stand when He appeareth? Well, no one. That's what it seems to call for, that no one will be able to stand. But the Scriptures teach us concerning those who will be able to stand. Those who will not be terrified on the day of Christ's appearing. They will be able to abide the manifestation of the Son of God. Now the question is, will you be among that number on that day? Because there will be people for whom the day of Christ's appearing will be the greatest day of their lives. There are three things I want you to observe in our text this evening. One, the designation of the time. It is called in our text the day of His coming. That's in the first question. In the follow-up question, it is called the time when He will be appearing. Who shall abide the day of His coming? Who shall stand when? That's a time when He appeareth. Now the key aspect of this part of the text is the use of the definite article. It's good to know some English grammar because it comes in handy in understanding the message of the Bible. The definite article is used to separate, to isolate a particular thing, to call attention to it, to particularize it. And this definite article sets aside some particular day. We don't know when it is. It hasn't come yet, but it's coming. Some particular day on which the prophecy of those angels on the Mount of Olives will be fulfilled and Christ will appear. It is the day that God has appointed, in which the events that are described in our text will take place. So let us realize then that there is a particular day set aside by God in the counsels of eternity that will bring this age to its close, and that will feature the reappearance of Messiah. There's no way to know when that day will be. A lot of foolish people have spent a lot of time trying to figure it out. Some have given up and admitted that they were frauds. Others have come along and taken up their work and said they just didn't have a good enough understanding. There are a lot of people who try to figure out when that day is going to be. But there is the understanding here that its onset, its arrival, has been fixed from before the foundation of the world. What that means is that history, and I like always to point out again that there is no such thing as prehistory. You hear people talk about prehistoric times. Total non sequitur. There is no such thing. God started the history of the world when He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And the evening and the morning were, what? The first day. The first day. That was the beginning of the history of the world. And as surely as that day was the beginning of the history of the world, there is a day in the future yet set aside, a particular day set aside by God, when this age will close. It's the day of the Savior's coming. Now we can say for sure that that day, whenever it is 1 week closer to being realized than it was last week at this time. And what's the point? What's the application? If there is this day that is set apart in the counsels of God from all eternity, then it would seem that those who profess to be among the people of God would always be prepared for that day to come. For they do not know when it will come. We are told in the Scriptures that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We read that in 1 Thessalonians. What is the thing about that comparison that should strike us? What is the thing about the thief in the night's coming that gives him the advantage that he's seeking? No one expects him. No one is looking for it. So what we read in the Scriptures is that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night to some people. To which people? To those who are not expecting it. To those who are not looking for it. Who are not prepared for it. Prudence teaches you, does it not, that if you own property, that particularly at night time you should take measures to protect that property against intrusions. What does that mean? You are sitting there saying, a thief could come. Let me make ready for it. Let me be prepared for it. And however that's done, people understand that this is prudent. So it is with the day of which we read in our text. That day does not come as a thief in the night to those who are prepared for it. It does not come as a thief in the night to those who are watching for it. So here's the first thing in our text. The designation of the day. There is a day. There is a particular day. We don't know when it is, but it is a day that God has established. And as surely as God has established the boundaries of individual lives, it's hard to accept that for some people. The day when a child is born, all you think about is, you know, the child growing up and going on and all of that. But as surely as that day comes, God has fixed a day for the end of that person's life in this world. And as surely as that is the case, there is a day fixed when Christ will appear. But let us notice now, secondly, in our text, the trial in the time. The trial in the time. And here are these two questions. Who may abide? Who shall stand? On that day, we are learning here in Malachi, there's going to be a revelation of all that is true, of all that will survive, and at the same time a revelation of all that which is false, of all that which is pretended. Here's the solemn thing about this day. This is the reason for the question. Those who have gone through their lives engaged in hypocritical pretense will be found out on that day. Those who have thought that as long as they went to the house of God on a regular basis, or reasonably regular basis, that things would be all right for them, they'll be found out on that day. There's going to be a trial. We read something of that trial in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And let me just stop to say that there have been commentators and preachers who have tried to isolate out things in that text. But I think what the text is emphasizing is that everybody's life is a composite of these materials. There are some things that you build in your life that are precious. That is, they are valuable. They are enduring. But at the same time, there are other things that do not endure. The wood, the hay, the stubble. Some appear like wood to have a more solid presence. Others, like the stubble, are that which seems to be inconsequential. But I do believe that what Paul was meaning to say is that whatever you build, and chances are your life is going to be a reflection of a combination of these things, whatever you build, that's going to be revealed. If you have spent the majority of your time building that which will not endure, that will be revealed on the day when Christ appears. Notice verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What day is that? The day of which we've been reading in our text. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, that's the gold and the silver and the precious stones, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? The loss of all the time that he spent developing those things that would not endure. He shall suffer loss, yet but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The Roman Catholics use this text as a proof text for purgatory. It is no such thing. It is speaking about the day when Christ appears. And the point of the text is that in your life, you confront choices every day as to how you will spend your time, what sorts of pursuits you will take. And all of that time you're building on the foundation. Then there's going to come a day of triumph. And the question is, who shall abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? Will you be able to stand in that day? The works that you have done in your flesh, when that day comes, will either be revealed by fire to be enduring works, or burned and manifested to be worthless. Wood, hay, and stubble. Who will stand? On that day, who will stand? Well, I'm here tonight to tell you that there is a group of people who will not fear the arrival of this day. And that brings me to the third thing in the text, the prospect of the time. Who can abide it? Who shall stand when he appeareth? There are people who will stand. And who are they? They are those who have been justified by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. They will stand in that day. Who will the people be who will greet the day of which we read in our text with rejoicing in our hearts? Who will say, this is our God. We have waited for Him. Who will those people be? Will they be people who can say, look, I've spent all my life doing volunteer work for the church. I've spent all my life trying to do good deeds to my neighbors all around me. No, that those will not be the people who will be able to stand and rejoice. The people who will stand in that day are the people who will say, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came to save me, and He saved me by standing in my place, obeying the law in my behalf, and then suffering the penalty of the broken law in my place and in my behalf. They will stand in that day. There are powerful descriptions of the scene when the Lord will separate, he says, between the sheep and the goats. Up until then, there doesn't appear to be much difference. But on that day, the Lord will say, here to the goats, here to those who have been revealed on that day to be frauds, depart from me. And they will go away into everlasting darkness. But the sheep will enter into the blessing of his presence forever. They will stand. And the way to stand in that day, you see, then is to be standing in Christ's righteousness now. Those who are justified, those who have been forgiven of their sins, will not be overtaken by that day as a surprise. They will be following the advice of the Apostle Peter, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. He wrote in 2 Peter 3, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. There will be people in the day of Christ's appearing who will be protected from the judgment of God upon them. Why? Because they are in Christ. And Christ went to the cross and there bore in his own body their sins. The curse of the law was put upon him. And with his stripes, Isaiah said, they are healed. He has already taken the judgment upon himself in his own body on the cross. You see, here is the glory of Messiah. Here is the great hope for those who are not yet in Christ. There is still time. The day of which we are reading in this text has not yet come, and that means the day of opportunity is still open. Now, Paul said, is the day of salvation. Let us turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Look at verse 34. Or let's go back and read beginning at verse 29. From the Olivet Discourse. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. There's a tree in the yard behind our yard that during the winter doesn't have any leaves on it. Just within the last 2 weeks, we watched it come into bud, and then the new leaves burst out. Today I was noticing through the window that the foliage, which just a day or two ago was just very sparse, is now covering the whole tree. And what does that tell us? Summer is coming. Summer is coming. If the air conditioning running didn't already give you notice of that, that tells us for sure summer is coming. So the Lord Jesus said, you know that summer is at hand when you see those things. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. What a day that's going to be. You won't need the news sites on the internet anymore when that day comes. All of the journalism bureaus will be shut down when that day comes. As a snare, it's going to come. It's going to be a great day for the people of God. They're not going to be taken by surprise. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. There it is. There are people who are going to stand in that day. There are people who are not going to be crying out in terror and calling for the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them and to hide them from the face of the Lamb and from His wrath. No, the people of God in that day will stand. Not because of something they have done, but because of what Christ has done. And they are trusting in Christ. That will be the foundation of their joy. It will be a great day. We don't know when it will be. We don't know what time of the day it will be. But it will be a great day when Christ will appear. Malachi asks the question again. Who will be able to abide that day? Who will stand? Oh, be sure that you will be among those able to stand in that day. And how can you be sure of that? Be sure that this day you are trusting in Christ. The justified will be accepted. They will not have to fear. Be sure that you are among them. That you can say as you go away from this place tonight, I am justified. My sins have been pardoned. I do not fear the coming of the day when Christ appears. I welcome it. I desire with all my heart it will come quickly. Because on that day, the people of God will rejoice in the presence of the Redeemer.